娘，是小才无。
Welcome to the second season of True Crime Naija. In this season, we bring you stories of crimes that happen not only in Nigeria, but also across Africa.
We hope that by sharing these stories, we all become more aware of the types of crimes that happen here.
And by becoming aware, we become smarter at detecting and hopefully preventing similar crimes.
This episode and other episodes of True Crime Naija can be found on our 234 Audio YouTube channel, on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, let's get started.
Thursday, the 29th of April, 2021. It's a hot afternoon in Lagos. Umu Uduak is doing what most young women do. She's shuffling between running to her phone to respond to messages and back to the kitchen to watch the food she's cooking.
As she's going about her kitchen activities, her phone rings. She dashes out. It's her best friend, Ini. Ini tells Umu,
"Guy, they just called me for this interview at Oran Road. But I don't want to go because the place is far and I don't have money." "Is the place far, Abi? You don't have money." "I don't have money."
Both girls burst out laughing. And then Umo says she will send Ini 2,000 naira so that she could go for the interview. Ini is super thankful and promises to keep Umo updated every step of the way. Umo goes back to cooking her meal.
Somewhere between 4 and 4:15 p.m., Umo's phone beeps. It's a WhatsApp notification. Ini has just sent her a voice note. Umo plays the voice note and realizes it's a one-second voice note in which Ini didn't say anything. She thinks that Ini has probably run out of airtime but wants to give her an update on the interview. So she dials Ini's number.
But when Ini picks up the call, she doesn't hear her friend's cheery voice. Instead, she hears Ini let out a loud scream. And then the line goes dead.
I'm Antonietta.
I'm John.
And I'm Nabila.
And this story...
This story...
could
save
your life.
Ini and Umo have been best friends since their university. They do everything together and hardly make decisions without informing each other. They both got their degrees from the University of Uyo, which is the capital of Akwa Ibom. The young women graduated in 2019 and life after graduation has been difficult.
Ini is an orphan and the only help she has had is from her sisters. Even when she was in school, she had to work extra jobs in order to pay fees and take care of herself. Umo's parents are alive, but things aren't all that rosy for them either. And now both girls have graduated and joined the millions of unemployed Nigerian youths.
Throughout this year, 2021, Ini and Umo continued their job hunting in the hope that one day they would both get jobs and begin to live better lives. In April, Umo decided that she was going to travel to Lagos.
"Well, that makes sense. I can see why. There are better opportunities in Lagos."
"Yep, exactly. So Umo tells Ini about her decision. Now, Lagos is about 12 hours away from Uyo, and that's a huge distance when you consider how close and inseparable the girls have become. But Ini understands. They agree to always keep in touch by texting and calling each other.
On Monday, the 26th of April, Umo moves to Lagos. Within a week after she arrives, she gets a job. She immediately calls her friend Ini.
Babe, I got the job. They want me to resume on Monday.
Ine is so happy for her friend, and she tells Umar that she has also applied to some companies in Uyo and was expecting positive feedback.
On Thursday, the 29th, Ine receives a call. It's from a man who says he owns a farm in Uyo. She had earlier applied to work at the farm as a secretary. He tells her that they would like her to come over for an interview that day. The man asks if she will be able to make it, and Ine says yes. He tells her he would send her the address and then hangs up.
But Ine isn't so sure she'll be able to make it for the interview. The part of town where the farm is located is far, and she doesn't have enough money to transport herself there. She decides that other opportunities will come.
That's too bad. But at least she's gotten one positive feedback.
Yeah, so she dials Umo's number to give her this bit of good news.
Umo is excited. And when she hears that the reason why Ine doesn't want to go is because of the transport fare, she offers to send her 2,000 naira. Ine is excited and tells Umo she would keep in touch every step of the way. Umo then tells Ine,
"Tell someone at home too. You know I'm not in Uyo."
Ine responds,
"I'll text my sister the man's number. Make I no go lost."
Both girls laugh and end the call. Ine gets dressed to attend the interview. She texts her sister the number of the man who called her and starts her journey. She calls Umo to tell her she's leaving the house. She gets on the bus and the driver moves on.
After a while on the bus, Ine is exhausted. She calls Umo.
"Guy, this place is far."
Then Umo tells her, "See, if you think it's too far, just go back home." But Ine is reluctant to simply head back since she has come this far.
"I think I'll just go. But if the money they offer isn't worth it, I won't accept because I can't come this far every day for nothing."
Umo tells Ine that her decision makes sense and they end the call.
Ine finally arrives at the place. The man who had called her welcomes her and she goes in with him. But something is off. First of all, this place is not a farm. And second of all, Ine feels she's in danger.
Ine quickly reaches for her phone to send Umo a voice note. But before she could, the man grabs the phone from her. Ine and the man begin to struggle. And while they are struggling, her phone begins to ring.
It's Umo. The man accidentally picks up and Ine screams as loud as she can. When Umo hears Ine scream, she screams too.
Ine, what's happening?
But the man immediately cuts the call. Then he turns to face Ine.
In that moment, Ine knew that no one was going to be able to save her.
Umo stares at the phone in disbelief. Her heart is racing. What on earth could be happening? It's about 4:16 p.m. She begins to think of the people she could call. She should call Ine's sister, but she doesn't have her number. She immediately calls a friend who lives in Uyo and most likely has Ine's sister's number. She asks him for the number and he texts it to her. Then she calls Ine's sister.
When Ine's sister picks up, Umo introduces herself. Then she tells her everything that happened. Ine's sister confirms that she knows about the interview and that Ine had sent her the man's number. She decides that she's going to head to the police station immediately.
It's almost 4:30 p.m. when Ine's sister arrives at the police station. She reports the case, but the police say they can only file a missing persons case after 24 hours. So she leaves the station and goes back home.
Wait. This is the second case of a person missing where we've heard the police say they can't file a report until after 24 hours. Isn't this the same thing that happened in Mohammed's case?
Right. In both Mohammed and Ine's cases, the families were told that they would have to wait 24 hours to file a missing person report.
And we checked with our legal expert, and it turns out that a bill was passed by the Senate in 2020, which would require the police to file a report as soon as they get alerted that someone is missing. They should not be waiting, but we're not sure if the bill has been signed into law yet.
Ugh. This is frustrating. I mean, the first 24 to 48 hours are so important in a missing person case.
Yes, and at this point, Omar is frustrated. From the way Ini sounded, if they wait 24 hours, she might be dead. So at about 4:43 p.m., Omar makes a post on Twitter. "You all, my friend at Hini Humoren is in trouble and she needs our help." Then she goes on to explain everything that happened.
By the next morning, Ini had still not returned home. No one had called to say she was with them or even to ask for a ransom. Ini's sister immediately goes back to the police station. It was at this point that the police opened the case. But there's a bit of a problem. The police say they will not use their police van to go to the place. So she will need to rent a van for them.
Ha! What is this nonsense? Why?
We honestly don't know. Maybe they thought it was a kidnapping situation and they didn't want to scare the kidnappers away. But we really don't know why. What we do know is that they asked her to hire a van and put fuel in it.
But Ini's sister has no money. So she and Umo make a few calls and get people to help them raise money. Then she goes to a bank to withdraw the money. After withdrawing the money, she hires the van and fuels it.
But this is so frustrating. I mean, valuable time is passing.
Meanwhile, on social media, Umo's tweet is going viral and the hashtag #FindHiniHumoren was created. Young Twitter users begin to help solve the case. They use the Truecaller app to check the phone number of the man who had invited Ini for the interview. And Truecaller identifies the man as Ezike Akpan. They then begin to go through Ini's Twitter page. In one of Ini's tweets, she was asking people in Akwa Ibom to help her get a job, stating that she lives in Uyo and she's a fast learner.
One particular comment under that tweet stands out. It's a comment from the handle at Miracle Papa. The tweet reads, "Will you work in a construction company as a secretary? I'd like you to bring your CV to Udo Udoma Avenue. The name of the company is UNK Limited." And Ini had replied, "Yes, please, I would love to. Can I send a DM for more information, please?"
Immediately after, people started to ask questions about that tweet. The owner of the account deletes the comment, then changes his Twitter handle. And when people still trace him with the new username, he immediately deactivates the account.
Next, Twitter users find his handle on Facebook and he immediately deactivates his Facebook account too. But before he deactivated his accounts, they were able to find out two things. One, that he probably lives around Airport Road, which is where Ini went for the interview. And two, he's friends on Facebook with a man named Udwak Frank Akpan, whose full name is discovered to be Ezekiel Udwak Frank Akpan.
Wow. Didn't we find out earlier that Truecaller had identified the man that called Ini for the interview as Ezekiel Akpan?
Yeah. So attention shifts to this Akpan guy. In his bio, Akpan says he has been a volunteer for the United Nations since January of this year, 2021. But the United Nations respond that they do not have details of a volunteer with his name in their database. Soon, Akpan's face and full name is all over social media and people are looking for him.
On Friday the 30th, sometime in the evening, Akpan makes a Facebook post with Ini's photo. In the post, he says, "Good afternoon all. Please kindly forward this message to anybody that knows her. I was contacting her yesterday concerning a job opportunity. as at the time she called me, she was at Ibiaku Junction. The call went off, so I called her back several times. After several efforts, I couldn't reach her. He goes on to give details on how to reach Ini and ends by saying, "Please, I'm not holding her hostage, nor do I know anything about her whereabouts. My phone has been off because I've been getting threatening messages due to misunderstanding."
Wait. Is he trying to say he has no clue where Ini is?
That's exactly what he's saying. But many people do not believe him.
Well, I can understand why too. But why didn't he bring this up immediately when the news of her disappearance came up? I mean, it just sounds suspicious.
It really does. But something else happens to strengthen the case against Akpan. A lady reaches out to Umar. She tells Umar that she has been Akpan's victim in the past. She says that Akpan had used another Facebook account to lure her to his house, but when she got to the house, instead of getting a job, he drugged her, raped her, and took photos of her. Then he told her that if she tells anyone, the photos will be released on the internet. And since then, he has been blackmailing her with the photos. This lady gives Umar the address of the house where she was raped, and the address was forwarded to the police.
That same day, Friday the 30th, the police immediately go to the address. It is Akpan's family house, but Akpan isn't there. He has traveled out of Uyo, so the police arrest his father and take him to their station.
Why did they arrest his father?
We don't know, but that happens quite a bit here in Nigeria. When the police raid a location, they usually arrest everyone there and then they sort it out later. And also by then, rumors had been spreading about what happened and the police were under pressure. So maybe they were also reacting to that. Either way, they arrest Akpan's dad, but Akpan is not there.
Meanwhile, Umar continued to work with Twitter users to find anything that could help find Ini. And then on Saturday, the 1st of May, Akpan walks into a police station in Uyo. When the police arrested Akpan's father, they found out that Akpan had run off to Calabar without letting anyone know. The police officer in charge of Ini's case begins to work with some of Akpan's relatives to convince him to return to Uyo. Akpan assures them that he did not kidnap Ini and he does not know her whereabouts. His relatives and the officer eventually convince him to come back just to clear his name.
And on Saturday, Akpan walks into the police station, but he still insisted that he had no clue where Ini was. After interrogation, he broke. He confessed that he had raped Ini several times and then killed her. At this point, the case was moved from the anti-kidnapping squad to the homicide division. Akpan took the police to a shallow grave where they exhumed the body of Inibong Morin.
Inibong Morin was a fair, beautiful 26-year-old at the time of her death. She had this smile that can light up a room. She was very sociable, yet committed to her academics. In one of the photos circulating online, she was wearing a graduation shirt that says 4 years, 8 semesters, 64 courses, 151 credit hours out of Uni Uyo. She was beaming with hope for a brilliant future. Ini was part of her school's female soccer team and was among the top graduating students of her set with a CGPA of 4.12.
When Umar got the news that Ini had been killed and buried in a shallow grave, she posted the video to update the Twitter community. In the video, Umar was crying uncontrollably and saying that Ini did not deserve this. All she wanted was a job.
Now, it's a custom here in Nigeria for police to parade suspects in front of the media, and the media is then allowed to ask them questions. But in this case, days went by and the police had not yet paraded the suspect, Akpan, to be interviewed by the press. This caused an outrage on social media, as people felt that justice was not being served fast enough.
On the 14th of May, 2 weeks after Akpan was arrested, the police finally paraded him. And get this, Akpan shows up to the interview with journalists wearing an orange t-shirt. The shirt was inscribed with the words, "The Murder Squad."
Wait, what?
In his interview with the journalists, Akpan says he had asked Ini if she could work in a farm where her drugs were kept, and she said she could. When she came for the interview, Akpan said he then told her that the farm didn't exist, it was just a hoax.
According to Akpan, he then told Ini that he would like to have sex with her, and she agreed. Akpan said she agreed on the condition that he would use a condom. But as he was removing the condom, according to Akpan, Ini became furious and then she used a voltage stabilizer to hit his head. A stabilizer is a small but heavy electronic object commonly found in Nigerian homes.
Then, according to him, she bit his left finger and that's when he used an iron to hit her on her abdomen. And then she tried to reach for the door screaming.
So, wait. If according to him, she agreed to have sex with him, why would she be running away?
Exactly, it doesn't add up. Akpan says it was in a bid to stop her from running away that he hit her on the head with the stabilizer and then she fell, started bleeding and died. Now, according to the interview, Akpan said his father was not involved and that he acted alone. He also said that Ini was his sixth victim.
Are you saying he killed five others?
Well, he admits to killing only Ini, but he had lured five other young women to the house before on the premise of offering them a job only to rape them. And he's 20 years old and a third-year university student.
So unfortunate. What a waste.
Yes. Now, as at the time of this recording, Akpan is still in police custody but has not yet been tried in court. Actually, the courts were on strike at the time of his arrest, so he hasn't been arraigned yet. But we expect by the time they resume, the public will continue to put pressure on this case.
I must say, Umar and the Twitter community really came through for Ini. I know they couldn't save her, but being able to trace her location so quickly really helped with finding her body and eventually her killer.
Yeah. And the woman who came forward and shared Akpan's address too helped a lot.
And the fact that Ini and Umar were keeping in touch the whole time made a big difference in how quickly this case was solved.
But that whole thing about police not doing anything for 24 hours, Shah.
We really need to change that. Like, that does not make any sense. I'm not sure where we got that from or why it's a common practice, but it should not be.
We've seen two cases now where critical time was lost because of this 24-hour practice. I'm not sure if it would have saved Ini in this case, but definitely in Mohammed's case. If the police had acted in that 24 hours, it would have probably made a difference.
Ini did everything right in this case. She told Umar and her sister where she was going. She gave them the contact information of the person she was meeting. She kept in touch with Umar the whole time.
Well, maybe the only thing she could have done different is check up on the company before she went.
That's true. And it's possible that she did try to find something about them. But maybe they didn't have any information online. It's actually common in Nigeria for small businesses especially not to have an online presence.
True. Do try to research a company before you go for interviews.
And always, always tell someone, anyone where you are going and who you are going to meet. Hopefully nothing happens, but if something happens, you at least know someone will be able to find you.
We'll keep track of this case and bring you updates as we learn more. Join us next week for another episode of True Crime Niger. This time we go to South Africa, where a pregnant woman is found dead and her boyfriend tries to help the police find her killer. True Crime Niger is a Triple E Media production. Production copyright 2021, Triple E Media Productions. This episode of True Crime Niger was produced by Antonietta Kalunta, John Iwodi, Nabila Usman, Nico Rivas, and Sam Tepakaji.
Executive Producer Rahmat Mohammed. Special thanks to Rabia Hadeja, Aredi Isha, and Mala Iwa Gbadu Ikaliku. Stay alert, stay alive. See you next week.